Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Over the course of the general election campaign, we've been hearing from all of the leaders of the political parties who are vying for your vote on the 29th of November. That's this Friday. And we continue today with Ivana Bacic, who's leader of the Labour Party and a candidate in the Dublin Bay South constituency. And you're welcome this morning. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for the invitation to be here, Claire.
Can we begin with what you think you might achieve seat-wise in this election? Because if we look back at Labour, I mean, you've gone from 30 seats in 2011, 7 in 2016, 6 seats now. What's your ambition on Friday?
Well, our ambition clearly is to grow support for Labour, for our vision and our values and for our wonderful 32 candidates across the country. We do, of course, want to see an increase in the number of Labour TDs returned to the Dáil. And Claire, I think we have some momentum behind us now. We saw really strong and positive results in the local and European elections this summer. 56 councillors returned and we now have 57 because an independent has joined us. And of course, Éoin Arirdon elected as our first MEP for the Labour Party in a decade. So we're hearing great reports across the country. I've been out canvassing across the country
but
myself.
Do you have a figure? I mean, is below 10 a failure for you? Are you hoping to get more than 10?
Well, of course, I'm hoping to see the maximum number returned that we possibly can. But it's not just about returning Labour TDs. It's about ensuring that we can deliver the change our communities need. And across the country, Claire, what our candidates are hearing from people is that appetite for a constructive message of change, the positive change that we in Labour stand for, that idea of an active state, a state that will deliver for people on childcare, on healthcare, on disability services, and crucially on housing.
Okay, and
that's what the appetite is.
I saw you trying to deliver that message on the debate last week. But, you know, the left still hasn't really managed to get it together. I mean, you made the call. You said you wanted to talk to parties on the left first. You talked about them coalescing. They don't seem to have responded to that. I mean, what are you asking voters to do here?
Well, thank you for raising that, Claire, because I think that's exactly what voters are asking me and I think asking all our candidates on the doors. How do you deliver that vision of an active state, that vision of a more equal Ireland for all? And, you know, what I have set out, and I've set it out as a very clear and straightforward proposition, which is that, you know, after the election, and we're not assuming anything in advance of the election because clearly nobody has cast a vote yet. I'm out knocking every door in Dublin Bay South and fighting for my own seat. But after the election, if I am returned as a TD, the first thing that I propose to do as the leader of the Labour Party is go to the leaders of other parties and indeed other groupings that share our vision and our values of the left, of the centre-left, a social democratic movement and indeed the Green movement, and seek then to speak with them about forging a common platform to ensure that we can see the delivery of our vision, to support the communities, the families facing eviction, the children on waiting lists for crucial disability services.
But this is what I mean when I ask you what you're offering voters, because we know that there are some platform issues and policy issues that you don't agree with those parties on the left. So are you saying vote for instability, vote for a mandate that hasn't been agreed yet?
Not at all. This is a very stable and again a very clear proposal. And let me be absolutely clear. I'm talking about speaking first with the leaders of the Green Party and the Social Democratic Party. We all share a common vision and common values. And indeed, voters are ahead of us on this, Claire, because we saw in 2020, we saw in the local elections this summer, the transfer patterns between the parties on the centre-left and in the Green movement are very, very closely aligned. People transferring between us, just as indeed people transfer between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
And have you had a conversation with Holly Kearns about this? Because the Sock Dems, when they're asked about Labour, they just think, no, we'd never go there. I mean, what's her view? Have you spoken to her?
Well, I speak all the time with leaders and indeed with TDs from other parties and groupings with whom I agree. And you know, I've a long history in my own political career of collaborating, working constructively with others to achieve change. But I think it would be presumptuous at this stage, before any votes have been cast, to start actually dealing on a common platform.
Because Fianna Fáil, we know, we're showing you the ankle very firmly in the early stages, certainly, of this. I mean, I saw some TV debates. There was one with yourself and Dara O'Brien where he was essentially agreeing every time you opened your mouth. But you're saying, I won't speak to Fianna Fáil first. I'll speak to the Greens and the Sock Dems.
I think I'm the party leader who set out most clearly what I will do after the election. And that is to speak directly to the leaders of other parties and other groupings who share our vision, our values, who want to see that active state in place, that long-term vision to build our country better together. That's what Labour are offering. There's a clear appetite for that on the doors. People want to see change. They see the failings of the outgoing government, the centre-right government, and indeed we've had two successive centre-right governments that have have failed to deliver on housing, failed to get the state back building homes. That's a crucial priority for us. For us on the left, Claire, and specifically for us in Labour. Let's get the state back building social and affordable homes.
What ministries do you feel would best deliver your long-term vision?
This is not about individual ministries. It's not about who's holding what post. That's not what people want to hear.
Look what the
Greens
did.
And that's not what communities need.
The Greens arguably had a significant policy impact because they went in there knowing what they wanted to do. They knew what ministries they wanted to hold and they got them.
Well, we're very clear about what we want to do. We've set out a carefully crafted, radical, ambitious, but realistic programme for change. Our key priorities, Claire, are set out in the document. But I'll say this, there's two particular priorities that we will go into any talks on government formation looking to deliver on for people and for the communities we represent. First on housing, we have to get the state back building homes again, building social and affordable homes, ensuring that families, that households can have security in their housing. I meet families all the time facing eviction. I meet young people living in their childhood bedrooms. It's not acceptable in a state running budget surpluses.
But do you think,
housing is
do
a key priority. But let me say
believe that Labour is the answer to the housing crisis. Do you think that perception is there in people's heads?
I think we offer a really credible, a really crafted and a radical programme. We offer that radical reset of housing policy that that government's own housing commission has said is needed. I think, Claire, look, everyone accepts the current government's policies on housing are not working. Anyone I speak to in the construction industry tells me the private sector cannot afford anymore to underwrite the risk of construction. Only the state has the deep pockets to underwrite construction
costs. But Labour had housing
now.
Before and it didn't work.
I think now we're a decade on. We've seen budget surpluses being run over the last two centre-right governments, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, very different to the proposition after the economic crash. What we're now seeing is funding available to seed fund that state construction company we've spoken about. We would transform the Land Development Agency.
How long would
into
that
delivering.
Take?
We want to do it immediately. If we are going into government, we have
set out
a pathway.
What the outgoing government will say when they hear about this transforming the Land Development Agency is that they say it took us 2 years to get to this point where it's ready to go. Let it fly. Stop trying to delay the work that it's poised and set to do.
What the current government seem to be saying on housing is, let's just keep doing what we're doing. But I think everyone around the country sees that's not working. It's not working for people who cannot afford to buy or even rent a home of their own. We are saying that over 3 years, if we scale up the Land Development Agency, if we use $6 billion from the Apple Fund to revamp, to scale up the capacity in there. We can see it delivering 10,000 social and affordable homes in 3 years. That's the ambition we've set out there. Let's put it
so
this way, Claire.
So delivering in 3 years, but you haven't got any staff. Like the Land Development Agency, State Construction Company, as you want it to be, it doesn't have a plumber, it doesn't have a bricklayer.
And precisely that's the point. We need it to get into a spot, into a place where it can employ directly. Put it this way, the Land Development Agency was set up 6 years ago. It has only just started to deliver affordable homes. Shangana Castle, that's far too slow. It's got about 200 staff. Take the ESB, a successful state entity, close to 8,000 staff. Look at the delivery of rural electrification by the ESB. Let's look in the past, Claire, in 1960, at Sean Lamassa's National Building Agency, because we've been here before. A state construction company delivered social and affordable homes at scale in the 60s and 70s. And builders and architects and construction workers are telling me now that's what we need to see again. That level of ambition, the Housing Commission has said it. We need the state to underwrite the risk of building again. That's a key priority for us.
Okay.
But I'll say this, children's rights are the other absolute key priority for us going into any talks on
government
formation.
So housing and the Department of Children is what you'd be pitching for.
We're not looking for particular departments. We're looking for a government that will deliver.
I think that's
absolutely.
Clear.
We're looking for a government that will deliver change for children who are facing enormous obstacles in accessing services.
To just ask you specifically about inheritance tax, because there is no mention of that in your manifesto. Are you happy with the budget decision to increase the thresholds from 335,000 to 400,000?
We're really proud of our Labour manifesto. We're the only party that is not seeking to narrow the tax base. We're not offering the sort of shiny trinkets of one-off payments and one-off tax credits that that other parties are offering.
But I think people will be surprised at that from a Labour party, that, you know, these are very expensive houses, often owned by people who are well off, and you're not mentioning it at all in your manifesto.
Well, in fact, what we have proposed in the manifesto, Claire, if you look at the taxation section, is that we look at the Spanish model of a wealth tax, that we look at incorporating that because into our tax base. What we are not wanting to do is increase any tax on work. We've always been about taxing wealth, taxing assets, and not taxing income from work. And that's why the Spanish model is so interesting to us, and indeed is now being considered by left of centre governments around the world. That's a tax of 2 to 3% on net assets asset's worth over 3 million euro. And it's the sort of model I think we could and should bring in here. So we have a clear proposal on that in the manifesto, as you'll see. But what we're not looking to do is to offer the sort of tax breaks that will stop us being able to fund public services. Because what families are telling me is what they want to see is not having to pay 70 euro each time they take a sick child over 8 to the doctor. What they want to see is affordable childcare. You know, I met a couple in my own constituency paying 2,000 euro a month in childcare costs on top of a mortgage. They can never afford to move out of the flat they're in.
Just about every party has that in their manifesto, in or around 200 euro a month.
That's right. And we would cap fees, as we've said, at 200 euro per child per month. But unlike other parties, what we're also committing to is a publicly provided system of childcare, to move the state to a position where we are underwriting childcare in the same way that we underwrite primary and secondary education. Again, this has been done before, and interestingly also by a Fianna Fáil minister, Donna O'Malley in the 60s, who changed radically the Irish education system by ensuring that every child would be entitled to access a secondary school place. That's the vision we need now in early years education. Our former education minister, Niamh Brannock, our dear Labour colleague, did a great deal to improve quality and access to early years education and improve access to education generally. But we need to go much further. We've called for a DESH Plus model, and we've called for that to be brought into the school system to target disadvantage. Because, Claire, it's shocking that in an Ireland that is so wealthy, that we have 60,000 children in consistent
poverty
and 4,500 children.
You want every family in the country to have this back to school allowance. And you mentioned free GP care as well. I mean, is that Labour-like to have universal policies in place, the benefits of which will be felt by very wealthy families? Essentially, that's money wasted.
Well, what we offer, Claire, is a clear centre-left vision for change, a vision of an active state that is underwriting and providing public services. Labour began the scheme of free GP care for children. It has not been extended to all those under 18, and there are many children now aged 8 who are ageing out of free GP care and whose parents are now going to face that astronomical cost each time they want to bring a sick child or need to bring a sick child to the doctor. So what we're offering is a centre-left vision. Yes, some universal benefits like children's allowance, but also let's do far more on targeting disadvantage. And that's why we're proposing what the ESRI has called for, which is a second level of targeting.
Targeted child benefit. Because you mentioned the 60,000 children who are in deprivation. I mean,
absolutely,
that back to school allowance going to the wealthiest families in the country. I mean, why not use that money? Target that as it is now.
Because we're also proposing targeted measures to target disadvantage and end child poverty. And that, again, is a key priority for us.
But I don't understand why you're giving free money to these people who don't need it.
Well, Claire, let me put it this way. We've always in this state had a mix of universal benefits like children's allowance, like free primary and secondary education. And that we absolutely stand over. That's what the state should be providing. But the state must also provide targeted measures like the second tier of child benefit that we've called for, the ESRI has called for. It would cost 700 million, but it would be an absolutely crucial measure, the ESRI has said, in bringing children out of consistent poverty. And we've called for the DESH Plus model, again, to target the most disadvantaged schools.
And you did mention that.
But school meals, let me put it this way. We also want to ensure that children in poverty are not stigmatised in school. Let's ensure there are universal benefits like school meals, like free school books, that all children can access in the same way all children access free primary education.
On cost of living, and this is a key point for your manifesto as well, your pledge to increase low pay rates and protect incomes from inflation. So how do you plan to do that?
We've got a clear policy, and we have done for many years, about indexation of tax bands and indexation of social welfare rates. And we see this as a far more long-term approach to tackling the cost of living crisis. And it is undoubtedly an enormous crisis. It is squeezing families and households around the country, faced in particular with these excessive housing costs because there is no access to affordable homes to buy or to rent. And we see rents rising in Dublin well above 2,000 euro per month on average, Claire. So what we need to do, therefore, is ensure that that any tax rates and that any social welfare rates are indexed against inflation. We've costed this at about 850 million for on each side, but it would be a far more long-term and sustainable approach to tackling poverty, but tackling the cost of living.
So putting
families.
More money in people's pockets it's so they can pay the higher rents and pay for the higher priced groceries.
No, because we're also talking about bringing down first and crucially the cost of housing, because that is the biggest single cost for families and households, as we all know. We're also talking about, as I've said, bringing down childcare costs, bringing down costs like GP visits, bringing down costs across disability services. So many families I speak to now having to go privately to get assessments when we see 13,000 children overdue in assessments of needs. Let's put the money into the state services.
And you don't believe, when it comes to the cost of groceries, this has come up a lot in the campaign, people, you know, seeing rising prices every week in the supermarket. Do you believe price caps are an option?
We've said the CCPC should have more powers to regulate prices in the grocery sector. Absolutely. We're very conscious that that is a real crisis issue for many families. But we need to see people getting a pay rise. We've 20% of the Irish workers are in low paid jobs, Claire. We need to move to a living wage, and that's a key Labour commitment. We need to improve on collective bargaining strength. And indeed, again, that's a Labour commitment. We're the party of work and the party of the trade union movement. We've always stood for decent pay and conditions for workers. And so when we talk about the cost of living crisis, we shouldn't just be looking at the prices. We should also be looking at people's pay. And that is a crucial priority for us.
OK, and that's the first time that you've mentioned workers' rights in this conversation. And people might be surprised at that from the Labour Party.
Well, it runs through in everything we do, Claire. It absolutely runs through everything we do. When we talk about childcare, when we talk about healthcare, when we talk about disability services, we talk about the people who need those services, but we also talk about those delivering the services. We brought forward a motion 2 years ago in the Dáil to deliver equity of pay and esteem for workers in so-called Section 39 organisations who've been in the news so much. And these, of course, are those staff who are working for voluntary bodies but providing the sort of care, particularly in disability services.
But you yourself have told us that your emphasis and your policy priorities are housing and children.
Absolutely. But these are workers' rights issues too. Housing is the single biggest obstacle to recruiting teachers, recruiting doctors and nurses, recruiting Gardaí, recruiting workers in hospitality and retail across every sector, everywhere I go, Claire, in small businesses, with many small business owners I know, teachers, principals, all telling me how impossible it is to recruit staff. Why? Because there's no access to affordable housing. So housing is a workers' rights issue. Children's rights too. This is about, for children, of course, it's also about enabling women in particular to get back to work. Okay. And so many women frustrated because they can't get a crash place for a baby.
We leave it there. Thank you very much for coming in. That's Ivana Bacic, who's leader of the Labour Party.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.